صباح الخير. عناوين اليوم: النفط يتكبد خسارة كبيرة، وأيضا بدنا نحكي عن عالم التكنولوجيا وتحديدا شركة أبل اللي عم تطلق ميزة جديدة للحماية الأطفال، وأيضا في الختام بدنا نحكي عن فوكس سينما في السعودية تحديدا اللي عم تطلق أول تجربة أفلام تفاعلية. خليكم. صباح الخير ويا أهلا وسهلا فيكم ببرنامجكم صباحكم مع سماشي. بنتمنى بداية أسبوع سعيدة للجميع. قبل ما نبدأ أخبارنا اليوم، حابة أمرق لكم هيك بجولة سريعة على الأرقام والأسواق. تحديدا خلينا نبدأ بالذهب. الذهب انخفض أيضا بشكل كبير ليوصل إلى 1763,000 تقريبا. النفط أيضا نزل إلى 70.30، ورح نحكي أيضا بأخبارنا بالتفصيل عن سبب هذا الهبوط. أرامكو أيضا 35.05 تقريبا. خلينا نحكي عن عالم وسوق العملات الرقمية اللي على العكس تماما عم نشوفه بالأخضر وبارتفاع. عندنا البيتكوين، عملة البيتكوين وصلت إلى 43,402 تقريبا. الإثيريوم ارتفعت 3,046 تقريبا. الدوتش كوين ارتفعت بشكل كبير جدا، ارتفعت حوالي تقريبا 17 إلى 18% لتصل إلى 0.24 تقريبا. مثل ما عم نشوف لما بينخفض الذهب، وتحديدا يعني عملة الذهب لما بتنخفض عم نشوف في ارتفاع بالعملات الرقمية والعكس صحيح أيضا. ومن دون أي إطالة خلينا نبدأ بأخبارنا اليوم مباشرة. أول خبر معنا لليوم رح نحكي فيه عن أسواق النفط تحديدا، لأنه فعلا في خسائر كبيرة بأسواق النفط، وتراجعت أسعار النفط بنحو 1% تقريبا يوم الجمعة تحديدا، مسجلة أكبر خسائر أسبوعية لها منذ أشهر. طيب شو سبب هذا الخسائر تحديدا بأسعار النفط؟ طبعا في مخاوف كبيرة لسه أنه في قيود للسفر للحد من انتشار السلالة الجديدة اللي هي دلتا المتحورة من فيروس كوفيد-19. طبعا كل هاي الأمور بتساهم بأسعار النفط وأسواق النفط. أيضا تعرضت العقود الآجلة للنفط للضغط مع ارتفاع الدولار بعد ما جاء النمو الشهري للوظائف الأمريكية أعلى من المتوقع، وهذا بيجعل ارتفاع الدولار أيضا النفط المقوم به أكثر تكلفة بالنسبة للمشترين من حائزي العملات الأخرى. طب نحكي بالأرقام شوي. أغلقت العقود الآجلة الخام برنت على انخفاض 59 سنتا تقريبا بما يعادل 0.8% تقريبا، ليصل الى 70.70 دولار للبرميل الواحد. في حين تراجعت ايضا العقود الاجل لغرب تكساس الوسيط الامريكي 81 سنتا او تقريبا 1.2% لتبلغ عند التسوية 68.28 دولار للبرميل الواحد. وعلى اساس اسبوعي ايضا تخلى خام القياس العالمي برنت عن أكثر من 6%، وهذا يعتبر أكبر نزول أسبوعي بأربعة أشهر. وهو أيضا غرب تكساس الوسيط بنحو تقريبا 7%، أيضا نسبة كبيرة جدا، بأكبر انخفاض أسبوعي له منذ 9 أشهر. ومثل ما عم نشوف إذا بدنا نحكي عن الدول اللي عم تستعد، مثل عنا اليابان عم تستعد لتوسيع قيود الطوارئ اللي بتشمل مزيد من المناطق في البلاد. بينما أيضا شفنا أن الصين فرضت، اللي هي تعتبر الصين طبعا ثاني أكبر مستهلك للنفط في العالم، فرضت الآن قيودا على بعض من المدن، ألغت بعض الرحلات الجوية. كل هذه الأخبار، كل هذه القيود بتأثر على أسعار النفط. فمثل ما عم نشوف أنه فعلا الآن، أو مثل ما ذكرنا بالفقرة السابقة، أنه هوت أسعار النفط لتصل إلى 70 تقريبا، بينما بالفترة الماضية كانت مرتفعة مثل ما شفنا. في مشكلة قائمة وعم بيعاني منها كتير من الآباء واللي تحديدا عندهم أطفال. السبب إنه عم بيتعرضوا أطفالهم لمحتوى غير لائق على الإنترنت. ومثل ما عم نشوف إنه الأطفال بعمر الصغير عم بيعطون أهاليهم سواء كان موبايل أو آيباد وغيرها بسبب تطور العصر وإلى آخره. لا شك إنه في كتير من الأمور التعليمية اللي ممكن نشوفها على الآيباد، ولكن للأسف في محتوى خادش جدا جدا جدا، وحتى إذا بدنا نقول في محتوى جنسي عم يوصل للأطفال. الآن شركة أبل أطلقت أدوات جديدة لنظام iOS ونظام iPadOS أيضا، لأنه مثل ما بنعرف يعني جيل الأطفال كتير منهم بينعطى الآيباد، بتهدف إلى حماية الأطفال، منع أيضا تحميل أي صور أو أي محتوى جنسي له علاقة بالأطفال على آي كلاود من هواتف آيفون أو حتى مثل ما ذكرنا أجهزة الآيباد أيضا. بجانب أيضا سياسة جديدة أعلنت عنها شركة أبل على تطبيقات المراسلة لمنع التحرش بالأطفال أو حتى استخدام الأطفال أنفسهم لأي محتوى جنسي. طيب كيف رح يتم هذا الشيء؟ رح تبدأ شركة أبل بإرسال إشعارات للآباء والأطفال في حال قام أحدهم بإرسال محتوى جنسي أو صور فاضحة عبر تطبيق ماسنجر مثلا، حيث رح يتم أولا تشويش هذه الصور عند التعرف إليها وإظهار إشعار للمستخدمين أيضا كونها صور فاضحة وغير مناسبة أيضا. وفي نفس الوقت رح يتم مباشرة إشعار الآباء بهذا الأمر عندما يقرر أبنائهم مشاهدة هذا النوع من المحتوى المرسل. رح تكون هاي الميزة متاحة على حسابات آي كلاود العائلية، ورح يتم التعرف على الصور من خلال تقنيات طبعا تعلم الآلة، لكن أبل عم بتقول أيضا أنها لن تتمكن من الوصول للرسائل نفسها. بجانب ذلك عم بتوفر أيضا الشركة أدوات على نظام آي أو إس وآي باد أو إس لتقوم بالتعرف على الصور ومقاطع الفيديو اللي بتم رفعها من هواتف آيفون أو حتى أجهزة الآيباد على خدمة آي كلاود، لتجنب رفع أي محتوى خادش بالحياة فاضح جنسي يتعلق بالأطفال، وذلك بالتعاون أيضا مع المركز الوطني الأمريكي للأطفال المضطهدين، حيث عند التعرف على صورة لأحد الأطفال المبلغ عنهم مثلا في المركز رح يتم مباشرة إرسال إشعار للمركز بهذا الأمر، وبالتالي يعمل المركز على اتخاذ قراراته والتعامل مع الشرطة للكشف عن أي انتهاكات تتعلق بالأطفال. وفعلا هذا موضوع حساس جدا، العديد من الآباء عم بيعانوا منه. من كم يوم عندي بعض الأصدقاء اللي كانوا عم بينبهوا على أهمية تحديدا أيضا اليوتيوب، وهذا موضوع بإيدكم، ممكن تفعلوا يوتيوب كيدز إن يوتيوب للأطفال، وتمحوا وتحذفوا تطبيق يوتيوب اللي هو يعتبر للبالغين على أجهزة الآيباد اللي بيستخدموه الأطفال أو حتى الموبايل اللي بيستخدموه الأطفال، لأنه فعلا عم تطلع دعايات عم بتكون خادشة للحياة وحتى للأشخاص اللي بيعملوا أبلود لمحتوى على اليوتيوب. دايما في خيار بيكون إنه هل هذا المحتوى لائق بالأطفال أم لا، فدايما بليز خدوا بعين الاعتبار هذا الموضوع، لأنه فعلا أعمار يعني أطفال بأعمار صغيرة جدا عم بتشاهد محتوى فعلا خادش للحياة، ما بصير حدا بهذه الأعمار إنه يشاهده. مثل ما معودينا فوكس سينما دائما بيجيبوا لنا تجارب جديده، ولكن التجربه هذه فريده من نوعها، راح تكون اول تجربه افلام تفاعليه في المنطقه اعلنت عنها فوكس سينما في السعوديه تحديدا، راح تتيح للجمهور تحديد كيفيه تطور الاحداث بالفيلم، ايضا الحبكه للفيلم السينمائي بشكل جماعي. وراح يبداوا هذه التجربه من خلال فيلم ليت شيفت. هاي التجربه بتجي بالشراكه مع شركة الإنتاج والترفيه والتكنولوجيا كينو إندستريز، تم إطلاقها في المملكة العربية السعودية بخمسة أغسطس. طبعا رح يعرض ضمن تجربة الفيلم أكثر من 40 ل50 قرار رح تشاركوا فيه من خلال تطبيق على هواتفكم المحمولة. بكل بساطة بتكونوا أنتوا عم تحضروا الموفي بالسينما، بتحملوا التطبيق الخاص على الموبايل الخاص فيكم وبتشاركوا بأحداث الفيلم، رح تشاركوا بتغيير حبكة الفيلم أيضا، فكل هذه الأمور من خلال التصويت. الآن هو موجود في المملكة العربية السعودية، ولكن رح يتم إطلاقه أيضا في دولة الإمارات. بتتوفر تذاكر الفيلم اللي رح يكون باللغة الإنجليزية طبعا مع ترجمة عربية عبر الموقع الخاص بفوكس سينما، أو حتى أكيد رح يكون بشباك التذاكر. مثل ما عم نشوف فعلا تجربة فريدة من نوعها، أنتوا تخيلوا أنكم عم تحضروا موفي وأنتوا عم بتشاركوا بأحداث هذا الموفي، الحبكة تبعه والقرارات كلها، فقط من خلال الموبايل والجهاز المحمول الخاص فيكم. شوفوا لوين وصلتنا التكنولوجيا، يعني كل واحد فيكم صار معد ومخرج للفيلم وعم بيساعد بحبكة هذا الفيلم. خبرونا لكل شخص تابع موفي ومثلا شارك بتحديدا يعني الفيلم التفاعلي هذا، شاركونا رأيكم فيه. وفي أشخاص هل ممكن ما تحضروا مثلا هيك شيء أم لا، ولكن أنا شخصيا بشوف أنه شيء ممتع جدا. أوريدي كان موجود بعالم الألعاب على البلاي ستيشن، في ألعاب مثل لعبة اسمها Away Out، بتشاركوا فعلا بأحداث اللعبة، أنتم بتختاروا أنتم والشخص اللي عم تلعبوا معه أنه هل المرحلة اللي بعدها رح تكون بهذا المكان أم بهذا المكان، شو نهاية حتى النهاية تبع اللعبة بتشاركوا فيها. فنفس الشيء تماما رح تشوفوه بصالات السينما مع فوكس سينما. أيضا نتفليكس عم تشتغل على هذا الموضوع أيضا، لأنه هو انتراكتيف وتفاعلي، فالمشاهدين بيستمتعوا فيه بشكل كبير جدا. هذه كانت كل أخبارنا الصباحية لليوم. رح أترككم بعد الفاصل مع مقابلتنا لليوم مع ماريا سيسكو لنحكي معها عن عالم الإنفلونسرز. خليكم معنا ولا تروحوا لبعيد. Guys, and today we have with us Maria Sisko, influencer manager and content creator and founder of Avenue MS, which we will know more about this company. Hi, Maria.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Same here. We were talking like we wish it was in real life. We were in the studio together, but unfortunately, COVID situation, so... So Maria, we want to know more as a start because you are a famous influencer and TikToker as well. So can you tell us more about how did you start your social media journey?
For my social media journey, I started very back in the days, and I always think that I wish I would start even earlier. TikTok, I started it with the lockdown. So when there was the boom of TikTok, I started because I wanted to learn how to use the platform for job reasons. So for my company, so influencers management, I wouldn't have never thought to become like a famous TikToker. So I remember I was just doing videos for fun. I was actually at home alone during the lockdown. And when you're at home alone for 1 month, you get very bored. Yeah. So I said, okay, why not? I have to entertain myself. And I started doing some videos like this. And then I remember one of my videos got viral. And I saw so many followers and I was like, okay, this could be something. And this is how I started. Regarding Instagram, well, I have Instagram since it started, really. But I never really... took it seriously because for me it was more a place to connect with my friends, etc. I didn't even know that influencers were actually a thing. Yeah. Because I'm Italian and in Italy things arrive always later. So for us it was like, okay, the influencers are like celebrities, I would never be one, you know? And then when I came to Dubai and after a while I started doing my job as an influencer manager, I didn't even know that job existed. Mm. So at that point I started taking even Instagram seriously. And I think social media in UAE and in the GCC were even more important than in Europe, for example, because they were used for everything, really.
That's the thing. And like even Instagram nowadays, it became like a search engine. Like people literally search for people the moment, or even restaurants, the moment they hear about it. Some people don't even go to Google nowadays because they want to see pictures, videos, and the number of followers that you have.
Exactly. And the vibe. The vibe. Exactly. Because I think Instagram gives the right message about the vibe of a place or a person or... It's a modern business card.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah, definitely. Some people are using it as a portfolio. So I think it's brilliant. Like you can use it. Do you use different approaches for TikTok and Instagram?
Yeah, I do, because they are completely different platforms, and I see that followers that are on Instagram would not necessarily follow you on TikTok and vice versa. I see that users of TikTok and users of Instagram, they like different things. So TikTok is more for fun, for comedy, to even be silly in a nice way sometimes. And it's for a younger audience. While Instagram, it's for people that are maybe more serious, let's say, and are like old users. So they are used to that. So I really see the difference. So TikTok, I do a lot of comedy. I do also fashion. Sometimes I do food experiences, mini vlogs like this, but I see the comedy is what works the most. While Instagram, it's more a place where is fashion, beauty, something that is more like showcasing, you know.
Yeah.
While TikTok, you can be more yourself. It doesn't matter if you are not with makeup and with perfect hair. You know?
Interesting, very interesting point. But some people are still posting whatever they post on Instagram on TikTok. Do you think that works?
You mean reels, for example? Like
Yeah.
I think it can work, but it's still a different audience. Like Instagram, it's not a comedy platform. You don't go to Instagram to get entertained.
No.
While TikTok, you use it to, I don't know, to get entertained, to spend time, you know, and sometimes you get even, you lose track of time on TikTok. Instagram, it's more to see what other people are doing, what someone looks like. It's a bit different. So I do it. And so sometimes I post my TikToks on Reels. But on TikTok, you can post even 5 videos per day. If you do the same on Instagram, people will unfollow you because it becomes like overwhelming. So I think it can work, but it depends on each profile.
100%, and especially that on TikTok as well, there's the trends and that you need to keep up with. So there's like a weekly batch of trends that people are doing. So I think it's very important to keep track on that, try them out. And I love to see how people are doing them based on their, and tailoring them based on their content. Like, yes, it is a funny trend, but some people are actually literally tailoring it based on their type of content that they post. Now we would like to know more about your company. So can you tell us more? How did you start it? When did you start it and why?
Well, I started on February 2020. Because it was, okay, the reason why I started, it was because I had all the tools to start and I wanted to be the boss of me, basically. I wanted to be free, to work remotely if I could, to travel the world, because I have been sacrificing so much, especially here in Dubai, in the last 5 years, even more, 7 years of my life. And I was, okay, now I really deserve to do what I wanted to do. So I opened on February, I was very happy. And then on March, the lockdown started and the pandemic. So I was like, why? It's okay. I mean, we are all in the same boat. Yeah. So it's not only me. And it was very good because it went very well. 2020 was actually the first 2 months. No, because with the lockdown, everything was blocked. Yeah. But once the lockdown was lifted here in Dubai, it was crazy. So I had a lot of work and I was working 24/7, which was not bad because anyway, there was curfew and there was not much to do. So I could focus completely. It's still fine. Till now, like I'm blessed in this and I'm very happy I did it. I would never go back.
That's amazing. As you said, like the influencers industry, like it's growing massively. I read a stat that it's growing $9.7 billion in 2020 by itself, and they're expecting it to grow as well. How do you see the influencers industry, especially in Dubai?
Okay, so I think the influencer, for what I saw so far and talking with let's say co-workers, people that work in the same field abroad, so in US or Europe, I see that here the culture of the influencer, it's much higher than abroad. Okay, it's still very spread around, but here it's really what it's, it replaced everything, like magazines, TV. Like if I want to know something, I will go ask to an influencer about the products, etc. You know, so here the market is very oversaturated. I think that there are a lot of influencers, and unfortunately there are a lot of fake influencers as well, so people who bought followers and got lucky. And unfortunately I see that not many people know how to recognize a true influencer, someone who grow organically and whose followers are actually interested in their opinion, than a fake one, let's say. There are very few people that can do that, and those people are the ones that work in this field. So, for example, I can tell this just looking at a profile. I don't even have to look at the followers or nothing. You get the eye in these things after a while that you work. But I still think that this oversaturation and this even overpresence, let's say, of fake influencers, brought brands to be very, very, very conscious now. Because I can see the difference with 4 years ago and now, how the market shifted. Of course, it's also because of the pandemic. Okay, there was a crisis for everyone. Okay, but I see how much brands now want to have, want to be sure of having a return on investment, of reach the key goals, etc. Sometimes it's even too much. Sometimes it becomes a bit even too commercial. You know, like before, influencers were more open. Like it was more open. It was more be yourself. Now brands, they really give guidelines. It's becoming a bit tight. But I understand, like, this is what they need to do to protect themselves.
Exactly. And you mentioned something very interesting, fake influencers and real influencers. What are the differences between them?
Well, I am only speaking about Instagram for now, because it's Instagram, the major business for this type of, let's say, hackers that sell fake followers. So first of all, you can tell by looking at profile, like you have to ask yourself, why should I follow this person? Like, why this person has so many followers? For what reason?
Yeah.
If you find a good reason, then most probably could be that she or he bought something.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you can see from the number of followers they have compared to the number of likes or comments. Because sometimes even likes can be bought. But if you know a normal ratio, the normal ratio would be, I don't know, around the, from the 2% to 6% is the ratio of engagement someone would have. So if you have 10 followers, no, sorry. If you have, let's say, 100 followers, you should have 6 likes, okay? From 2 to 6 likes.
Yeah.
And then you see people that have, I don't know, 20,000 followers and they have 50% engagement.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Not even Jennifer Lopez has this. and then maybe they have 50% likes and then they have 20 comments.
Yeah.
Here, you know. Then you can open the follower list and you will see that there are many that have weird names. And if you start open, sometimes there is no picture, weird names, like a lot of letters.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because hackers now, they updated themselves, like they know how
to fit.
So sometimes they have pictures, so you can open and you will see that usually these profiles have 0 posts or 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. Then they have 200 followers and 1,000 following. It means they are robots, like they are sold to follow people. So all of this. And then, of course, if you are a brand, you can see it from the results. Like if you see that there is, for example, from the engagement, I don't know, stories, if you tag a brand, you will see how many people clicked on the tag. If you see that there are two clicks and this person has 20, I don't know, 200,000 followers, most probably it means something is wrong.
What are the challenges or the most annoying stuff dealing with influencers?
Well,
where to start?
I mean, I'm blessed because the people I chose to work with, because I actually choose which influencers to work with and which influencer to sign with me.
Yeah.
We became like a family. So I was lucky to manage to create this type of relationship with them. But let's say all the influencers I worked with overall in these 4 years, well, the main problem is making them understand what professionalism is.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them are young, maybe they never worked in an office, and it's very difficult for them to understand that as brands, me working office hours, we need to work during those office hours,
yeah,
and we need to meet deadlines, etc. And sometimes this doesn't happen. Like it happened to me that some influencers, they call me at 2 a.m. No problem. You know, which for me, it's fine because, okay, they are like a family, as I told you, but sometimes it's very difficult to set the limit.
Set boundaries. Yeah.
Also because as a manager to create a good team with them, I really need to know a lot of their personal life. Mm. I need to know what they like, what they don't like, the name of their parents, of their sons, of their husbands, whatever. So sometimes it's difficult to still maintain like a professional relationship only.
Yeah.
If I understand. Then some people, unfortunately, they have behavior that is like divas. Luckily, I don't work with anyone like that, but I have witnessed this type of behavior, and I think it's very unnecessary, because even if you are a celebrity, it's unnecessary. Like, I mean, the diva behavior, in my opinion, will never bring you anywhere, especially in the business field, unless you are indispensable. But okay, influencers are not really indispensable. And then another thing is from the side of the brands. Brands don't, they really need influencers, but they don't treat them as professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes even setting the limit with the brand is difficult. One of the worst problems that I have with brands is payments. To get payments, I need to follow up like crazy sometimes, some brands. And it's very difficult for us because it means that we cannot plan anything, because we don't know when we will receive this money. Is it true? Is it not true? And here in the GCC, there is a rule, a law actually, that you cannot talk bad about a brand on social media.
Yeah.
So let's say that something bad happened with this brand. We are not allowed to let our followers know.
Yeah,
unfortunately, and this for us happened a lot. Like once a brand completely didn't pay us, and they blocked us and disappeared from the face of earth.
Wow,
you know, okay, it happened only once.
Yeah, but still, yeah.
But still, and there's nothing we can do to let followers know, like to punish them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can sue them, but
the process is long, and yeah.
I mean, you would spend more money on the case than what it was the income actually from that company.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
All of those things. But are companies now looking and brands looking for micro or macro influencers from your experience?
Okay, I understand that everyone has a different way to differentiate these two. Sorry, I'm Italian, I have a very bad accent.
I love the accent.
I think that the micro are the ones that are under 100,000 followers.
Yeah.
Then there are the medium for me that are around the 100,000, 300,000, 400,000, and then are macro.
Mm-hmm.
When someone starts having more than 1 million I don't consider that an influencer anymore. I consider it almost a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because it becomes so wide stream that it's difficult. Like you speak about rates that are really celebrities' rates. So it's a bit more difficult to manage, you know. And then there are the nano, like super mini influencers that are the ones that can be around the even lower than 10,000 followers. They can be influencers. Why not?
Interesting. And is there a range for the, like, for instance, the ads, as in money, for the, let's say, from which scale to which scale can we go up? Can you disclose those numbers?
In terms of rates?
Yeah.
It really depends on many things. Like, usually with my influencer, I don't have standard rates.
Mm-hmm.
I have reference rates, but for each influencer depends because each influencer can set their own rates.
Yeah.
Okay. There are influencers that are more flexible than others. There are influencers that are pickier. So it depends on them and on the client, because there could be a brand that is looking really for that influencer. That influencer is perfect for them. So maybe you can higher your rates a bit. But if a brand is very good, but they're not very interested, then you can lower. But let's say that in general, in my opinion, what is fair? Because there are influencers with crazy rates as well. But what is fair is an influencer that has a good engagement, so around, I don't know, 3% or 4%, so average, let's say, average engagement, and has around, I don't know, 700,000 followers with the right audience, for one picture post and a set of stories to go with, you can charge even $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Then there are more, like, many, many years ago, I sold an influencer for a video shoot for $12,000.
Wow.
And it was only 300,000 followers. You know, it really depends. There are, like, if a brand offer you this money, why not?
Why not? Exactly.
But I try, like, as a manager, I try never to set, like, the super high, especially now during Corona, like, things didn't go well as the previous years this year, because of course last year no one bought anything.
Yeah.
We were not doing shopping. So this year the brands don't have the budget.
Exactly.
Yeah. For marketing. Communication is the first thing that a brand cuts. So yeah.
100%. And you've seen the effect on the pandemic on the influencers industry, right?
Yeah, I really saw the difference because I saw a drop of the quality of the work behind a campaign.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting. But now it's picking up.
Yeah.
Now it's picking up, exactly. So that's what we're aiming for. And that's what we see, like, even from the ads that we see on influencers and everything. Do you have certain influencers that you work with, or you're open to anything? It's just a matter of, like, do you have a certain criteria?
Okay, as my portfolio of my company, I have 15 influencers that I always work with. I've worked with them for a long time, and I think they are very good influencers. Then, of course, I'm always open to search for others, and I have a lot of connections in this field of the influencer, so I know how to reach out even to someone that is not maybe signed with me. So I'm open, but I prefer to work with mine because I selected them based on a criteria, so I prefer to use mine, let's say.
That's amazing. Best of luck, Maria. I really enjoyed our conversation, and thank you so much. We had with us Maria Sisko, influencer manager and founder of Avenue MS. شكرا كتير لكل الناس اللي تابعونا. أنا بشوفكم بكرة بنفس الموعد. نهاركم سعيد جميعا.
Thank you so much, Hala. It was very nice, and I really think it was useful because not many people know all these insights about
the
social media world.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.